You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Hi, I'm Ryan Meeks, and after years of trying to make life work as a struggling artist, independent filmmaker, and musician, I thought to myself, hey self, wouldn't it be helpful to ask other artists how they're finding their path in this world? And so now, that's exactly what I'm doing on a bi-weekly basis. Welcome to The Path of Art. Welcome to The Path of Art. I'm Ryan Meeks, and today we have Jeff Gaither. So, Jeff, you may recognize some of his work from band art. He's done multiple bands. One that you might know very well off the top of your head is The Misfits. He's also done art for artists such as Municipal Waste, Testament, The Undead, Murder Junkies. There's a long list here. I mean, even Guns N' Roses is on here. So I'm just so excited to hear more about the art that you've created for these bands. So welcome to the show, Jeff.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell me, what is your most known pieces that you've done for these bands?
I would say the most known one is an album cover I did 30 years ago, and it was an album for The Accused. And it's called The Maddest Stories Ever Told. And I actually did it with another artist called, his name was R.K. Sloan, and he has passed away since then. But everybody seems to know that. And then another one is a logo that I did for Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies, which was a skull and a syringe and a dagger that was crossed behind it. And I have seen that thing tattooed everywhere on the human body, and went, I don't know, within a year or so before he died, he actually had it tattooed on the back of his head.
Isn't that the highest form of flattery, is when someone imitates you?
It's crazy, that's for sure. I mean, I've had people have my artwork tattooed on them all over the world, but what's really bizarre is people send me pictures of the tattoos, and they'll have my copyright and my name on them. And I'm like, what the heck? All I ask is, you know, just send me a picture of it. I don't care if you get a tattoo, just send me a picture. And I guess they think that I mean, you know, to put my copyright on it. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. So does that mean that you own that patch of skin?
I should tell him when you die, pack it up and send it to me.
That's great. Well, tell me about your most recent work. What have you done lately?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. I did an album cover for Potbelly, DOA. I just did a poster. Amelia Dead Cops. I did a poster for them. The Accused, that album I just told you about, I did 30 years ago, and I got back in touch with the band. And so I did skateboard shirts for them, and fans found out about it, and they've been wanting me to redo the album covers for them because I sold the original. And the second one I did for The Accused, the artwork was lost, but the record label actually took a small panel from a comic I did and blew it up, but never told me about it. So what I did was I thought I'm going to redo it and hit the band up to reissue it. But I thought, you know what? I have a better idea. I did a print that was 12 by 12 so fans could buy it and slip it into the album, the sleeve, and it'd be a brand new updated version for the album cover.
Oh, nice. And then that's cool.
There's a few other things. I mean, I'm always working every day, like 24/7.
So what is your process for creating art at specifically like at such a fast rate? It seems like you do a lot of work. And so what is kind of the process that you do to create an album cover or a t-shirt or a skateboard design?
Two answers to that. The first one is, it seems like a fast rate because I've been doing it all my life. So when you look at that long list of stuff, it seems like I've done a tremendous amount of work, and I have, but it's been over 40 something years. And it depends on the person, band, company, whoever, collector asks me. A lot of times, a small percentage of the time, people want really detailed, give me detailed information. But most of the time, what they do is they'll give me a name or just a brief ideal. And I come up with an ideal. And what I do is I take their brief ideal, and I just let it sit in my head for a couple of days, and it just like develops, and I draw it, pencil it out. And it takes me a few, like maybe 15, 20 minutes to pencil it out. I send it to them for approval. And it depends on, you know, what material I use, but most of the time for publication, I use inks. I ink it in and then use Photoshop to do the colors.
Yeah. So you actually use physical medium or to create your initial product just or your draft essentially. Yeah. And then you convert it into something digital.
Right. Yeah, I'd say like 90% of the stuff that people see of mine is hand drawn with pencil and Indian ink.
Yeah, it seems to be the case that most artists have different areas that they do stuff in. Like they'll focus on one, but they have, I don't want to call it hobbies because it's not a hobby, but they have other things that are creative that they're working on at the same time.
Right. Well, I happen to be, I'm always working on several projects at once, it seems like. You know, I have my main list, my work list. But then I have other things that are long-term goals, and some are short-term goals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so where do you get your inspiration for your art? The art that I've seen has been kind of, I guess it could be described as macabre. There's kind of like some of it has a horror element to it, you know, and it's very, very expressive. Where would you say that you get most of your inspiration for that?
I would say mostly when I grew up, I read like monster magazines, and I've just always been drawn to horror related stuff. I mean, I collect horror toys, I collect true crime stuff. And my mom and my aunt both were into art and theater, and they always, you know, would inspire me to do artwork and stuff. And so basically, you know, I've done artwork all my life. I've never had no art training whatsoever. And there was at one point in my life that something happened that made me just quit doing everything except for drawing. And that's all I did.
Hmm. And so you just kind of went forward with art at that juncture in your life.
Yeah. Well, basically.
And I want to touch on that more later, but like, that just makes me so curious. Like what happened?
Well, first of all, I had, and I wouldn't call them both careers because I didn't know they were careers at the time. I did work at a warehouse, but eventually I seen that I could move up, and I moved all the way up to art director. And while I was doing that and taking care of my family, I also had my real career, which was my art that I did. And I worked at that at nighttime. And so if one failed, the other might succeed. But lucky for me, both succeeded. And at one point, I
bet it got to be too much.
Well, it got so stressful. It was either going to be one or the other or something I don't want to talk about. So me and my wife talked about it, and I quit the art job. I was getting paid great money, but it was like, I'm going to just go ahead and dive into the pool, even though I don't know if there's water in it or not. I dived head first. But what the thing that you asked is, basically, and I don't advocate this at all, because I do not do no drugs or drink at all. But when I was younger, I did a lot of mixed drugs and alcohol and smoked a lot of pot and stuff. And basically, when everybody else the next day came down and was getting sober and everything, I didn't. I was still on a trip, basically, and it lasted for over a week. And it was like I was stuck in a, and even when I went outside, I felt trapped. And all the little things that you see when you do, I mean, I hate saying I do this stuff because I don't want nobody else to try it when they're younger, LSD and stuff like that. But you see patterns and stuff. And when you see that stuff for a week and you can't get out of it, I thought I was going to stay that way forever. So when eventually I come out of that dark hole, that was it. I quit smoking cigarettes. I quit drinking. I quit doing drugs. And I cut off all anybody that I had associations with that did that. And all I did was sit down and draw. And that's when I started seeing zines. And when I seen zines and seeing other people getting artwork published, I was like, you know, that's probably what I want to do. And so I started sending artwork out, photocopies to zines. And what I would do is I would send, like in the back of a fanzine, most of them would review other fanzines. So what I would do is take photocopies of my artwork and send to one fanzine, okay? And say, if you use my artwork, send me a copy of the fanzine. And when they did, I would go to the back of that fanzine and there would be reviews of fanzines. And then I would do the same thing to all of those fanzines. When some of those fanzines come back, I did it to all of those. So I had, you know, tons and tons of mail going out all the time. And eventually I started putting ads with them. And I was doing free artwork for several years, and eventually it got to where, you know, people started asking about how much to do this or that. And at the same time, I was doing mini comics. I don't know if you know what they are, but basically it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. You cut it in half, fold it down, and it makes an 8-page little mini comic. A lot of the famous artists, like underground artists, and some even like, say, Eastman and Lair from Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles, they used to do them too. And you'd sell them for a quarter. And I made a lot of contacts that way. And I think the zines and the mini comics is one of the reasons that a lot of people know me, because I did hundreds and hundreds of both of those. But it then led up to shirts and logos and albums and everything else. It just sort of exploded, you know, over years and years.
Yeah. So I've heard that a lot, that to be successful, you usually have to do a lot of free work up front.
Well, unfortunately,
And how? I mean, you probably don't have like a number. I doubt you kept track of how many pieces you did. But if you were to estimate, how much work did you do for free before you started to see money come in?
Oh, I'd say I probably did about 5 or 6 years worth of free artwork, probably even more, because I started when I was like 16, actually sending stuff out, maybe a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm.
And how about after you decided to quit your other job that was paying you a lot of money? How long or how much work did you do from that point before you started to see an income from your work?
Oh, I was already getting as much as I was being paid at my regular job. I mean, okay. I had a work list of like 30 clients, 30 jobs, you know, continually. And then I had all the work at my regular work, and it was getting to where I couldn't do both. There was just no way possible. And it made me, let's just say, a little insane.
Yeah, I imagine so. That's a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
So how do you balance time as an artist and kind of not just with, you know, with making sure that your artwork, but that you have time for family and you have time for your other art projects. How do you balance your time?
Badly. Like my wife would say, very badly, because I'm a workaholic. Always have been. I get up and I start working and I don't stop until I go to bed, no matter what time it is. I work all day. And if it's not on physical art, I'm packing stuff to ship out. If it's not that, I'm learning stuff. I'm reading about it, or I'm networking, or I'm going to conventions as a guest artist. It's everything I do. Everything is related to art one way or another. Or like, even I'm supposed to walk every day, but I don't because of my health. But even when I walk, I take pictures of like abandoned houses and stuff. And that was, like you said earlier, it's like a hobby. But even in a hobby, I don't really push it. But I've had photos, you know, published from where people have seen the stuff, but I don't push it. But
And does that ever bleed into your artwork? Like, we go out and take a picture of some cool house that looks haunted or something, and then it turns up in a piece that you draw sometime down the road?
Yes. But it's not in a way you think. It's hard to describe this because I take pictures of people, and it's a long thing, but I did a research on this. And I found a style that I don't think nobody else has. And it looks nothing like what I'm doing at all, period. It's not horror related. And it don't look, to me, I've looked in tons of books and all kinds of different artist books. I've not seen anything like it. And I'm doing a series of paintings based on this new style. And the show that I'm going to be doing is called, Girls and Guns. Some of the paintings are like 60 by 70 and a half inches big. And they're, you know, I'm using latex paint because I can't afford acrylic to do paintings that big.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back. We're talking with Jeff Gaither about his art. He's done art for the Misfits, Guns N' Roses, just many different bands. And we're going to be talking about the path that he took to get there. I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but we'll be talking about some more specific stuff when we get back.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to The Path of Art. We're talking with Jeff Gaither, graphic artist, painter. He's done all kinds of art, and he's done a lot for bands that you most likely have seen. So, Jeff, what got you interested in art? I mean, we kind of talked about that experience that you had that kind of pushed you into it, but like, what got you interested in doing art, like, in the first place?
Oh, well, I've always been interested in drawing, but looking back, the main thing, the very first thing was I collected comics, and I would draw and copy Marvel comic book characters. And then eventually, you know, it sort of transitioned over to drawing you know, the little freaky looking superheroes to where it eventually become my own style over a period of time. But at the time, I collected like Ed Roth's toys and stuff, which later on I worked for about 5 years, which, you know, blew my mind. I never thought that when I was drawing, collecting stickers and Roth stuff and playing with little Roth toys that later I'd actually be working for the man. And it's just one of those things, you know. It's like with the not going to school and everything, I'm self-taught. And really, because of what I told you earlier about, you know, switching over to doing nothing but art, I know it sounds cliche, but it's like, you know, art saved my life. Also, most of my life I've had anxiety problems, and art saves, it calms me, it puts me in a different zone. And the cliche part is, it's like art has saved my life. If it wasn't for art, no telling what I would be doing. Because, you know, two things, besides 10 years with my wife, two things have always been by my side. My shadow, and my art. And they always will be.
And that is what you say about art calming you is so true. When I paint or draw, it's almost like a meditation. You know, where you're able to calm yourself and just focus on one thing.
Well, yeah. And
I find it very calming.
Well, time passes differently, too. I've heard somebody say, but there's mm-hmm. a word for it, but I don't remember what it is. But I can draw, and it's like my wife will be, you've been in here drawing for 5 hours. And I'll be like, well, I don't feel like it, you know. It's like you just get into that area.
You mean it was 10 minutes. What are you talking about?
You know, you just get into a different zone, totally different zone.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so tell me about, we talked about kind of your leap of faith, which was an amazing story, by the way. But what led to your first success in art?
It depends on what you call success, because I think that the first time someone bought or paid for an album, that was a success for me, because it was like doing all the pre-work and over those years. And it was a band called The Sick Kids, but I finally did an album cover. Since then, I've done over 400 album covers. And then there's the time I worked with Raw. What was the question?
When was your, like, what was your first success that kind of,
and I would say,
yeah, the first success that you had.
And, actually, working with Roth and, just moving forward all the time, you know, just being persistent and moving forward, you know. I can't really think of a specific time. Now I think of times that, are like my favorite things that I've done. Not, and I guess I would say honored too, but, you know, like I'm into horror big time, and, I watched, Dawn of the Dead and Texas Chainsaw Massacre when they first come out. And later on, well, it's been a few years, but I did work with the zombies from Dawn of the Dead. And I did posters and shirts for them just a few months ago. Edward Neal, the hitchhiker from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I did a poster for him to sign at conventions. And then I did a poster for Casey Hendershot. He did stuff for Michael Myers. And it's like, you know, all these people, not him, but the other ones, the stuff I did when I was a kid, watched, and then later on, I'm older, I'm doing work for. It's like, you know, it's like a dream come true for somebody that's into horror. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Last year, I actually interviewed Brett Wagner. He was Leatherface, I think it was in the 2003. Yeah. Chainsaw Massacre. And so with that interview, I also visited him at he was visiting Utah, and he went to a haunted house. And it was just cool to see him interact with a lot of people that are just really into the horror genre. You know, there really is a niche for it.
There is. I mean, you know, it's a sort of a hard road to toe because it's a small one, but if you do it right, you can make money off of it. And, but it requires a lot of work, a lot.
Tell me something that you wish that you had known before you decided to do art. Was there anything that might have given you a better understanding of doing art as your career before, if you knew that beforehand?
Maybe stay in school and learn more about art history, because everything I've learned about art is through over the years. I had to learn myself, you know what I mean? And maybe if I'd have learned it at a little bit earlier age, things would have been a little bit different. Of course, they had changed things drastically, and I would not be the way I am today. So who knows? It could have went totally different.
Do you have any favorite artists?
Well, besides Ed Roth, I like XNO, R.K. Sloan, Giger, Salvador Dali, Picasso, a wide variety of artists, really.
Was there ever a point in your career that you thought it might not be working out? And if so, how were you able to get past that doubt?
I never did really think that way, ever. I know that sounds sort of big-headed, but when I worked in the factory job, moving up to art director and my real career, I just always looked forward. I was just persistent in what I did.
That's really amazing. Because I to have that focus that this is what you're doing and never doubt yourself. That's like a superpower.
Well, I do doubt myself because every drawing I do or everything I work on, I'm always like, I hate this. And my wife's like, you say that about everything and it turns out great. So I doubt myself individually on pieces.
Gotcha. So how would someone that's starting out as an artist, how would someone navigate this industry? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of moving components, you know, no situation is the same, but is there anything that someone that is starting out should be focusing on, especially when they're starting?
When they're young, I think basically they should not stay in their pigeonhole. A lot of people, and when they're young, they just seem to draw the same thing over and over and over. And a lot of the young people that talk to me, I always tell them, you know, draw your shoes, draw the TV, draw different things that you don't normally draw, because later on, it's going to help you draw better later on. Nobody ever listens to me, though. You know how it goes. Teenagers and young people, they know everything. But, you know, like anatomy. Most of my anatomy drawings, if you look at them, they're always freaks and stuff. And if I would have learned how to draw anatomy, maybe some of my pictures would be a little bit different now. But that would be one. And if they were a little bit older to navigate the industry, I would say, you know, developing a strong portfolio, networking, like maybe collaborating with different artists, staying informed as best you can, or at least trying, not following trends, but at least being aware of them, watching what other artists do. And the most important one is be persistent. Don't worry about what other people say. Do what you do, and the audience will find you.
So is there a fine line between getting feedback or constructive criticism and also just not listening to naysayers?
Well, most of the people that don't like my stuff don't tell me so. So, you know what I mean? They either hate my guts and won't say nothing. And the fans I have like my stuff and are always telling me, you know, how good it is or how great it is. And so I don't really get that much criticism except for my wife. And she tells me that needs to change. And usually she's right.
So you have a trusted person that is always with you and could readily give you that that criticism or that that advice.
Her questions about my heart. I show her all I do and ask her, what do you think about this? And plus we work together on some side projects and stuff.
It seems like you have an amazing relationship there.
Yeah, we work together on a lot of stuff. She takes care of a lot of things like, you know, sending out mail, and she handles promotions sometimes and talks to fans. She actually talks to like some rock people that I don't know personally, but she knows personally. I did work for her. She knows her more than I do.
So before we go, Jeff, what are some things that you're working on now that people can check out?
I've got some other projects going on. One is my painting series with the new style. It's called Girls and Guns, and it's going to be between 30 and 35 paintings. And I don't normally do galleries, but these are going to be gallery-sized paintings, very large to medium size. And it's a style that I don't think that nobody's ever seen. Also, I'm working on a book with three other artists called Brain Scum, where we all jam together. And then the last thing is, later in the summer, if I can manage to get it done by then, Black House is publishing my first art book. Plus, you know, if people want to, they can go check out my art at my website, which is theartofgaither.com.
Yeah, Art of Gaither. It's a really cool website. I've looked over it a few times. You've got some great stuff on there. And do you have a social media presence? Are you on Facebook or Instagram or anything?
It's easy to find me because it's Jeff Gaither, but my profile picture is black with crossbones and a G instead of a skull.
I have really enjoyed this interview. It's been a pleasure to get to know more about your art, your journey. And I just really want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Coming on, believe me, it's fun. I love doing these.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's great to get to know artists, and this has just been a great path to understand a little bit more. And so, those of you out there, I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope it helped you along your journey, or is helping you along your journey. Make sure that you download the podcast and share it with your friends and family. And we'll see you next time on The Path of Art. Thank you for listening to The Path of Art. If you or someone you know is creative and would like to tell your story, reach out to me at rmeeks@ksl.com. I might feature you on the show. If you liked our conversation, please make sure you follow the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. It really does help people to discover the show. Also, make sure you follow The Path of Art podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.